So I bet the under in the SMU Houston game, and apparently there's been two touchdowns in the first 59 seconds of the second half.
Yeah, and it was
What the fuck?
what? It was already at like 28, right?
We got a 4 second drive and then a 75-yard pass right back at it. Oh, good. Well, there goes that. You know what it was? Houston probably got the ball, then threw a pick. Guy got tackled at the two on the second play of the half. Then they got the ball back and threw a 75-yard touchdown. Oh, great. Well, let's start the podcast. I got to start betting the NBA.
All right, we can, everything sounds good. We can start. You guys are fools for going against the high-powered offense of the AAC. The new MAC, some are calling it. MACtion?
Right,
instead of MACtion, it's action.
Oh, I love that. You ready for some AA action?
Yeah.
Action. Oh, total. Live total, 78 and a half. I'm dead. All right, so...
All right, let's do it.
You can check one thing here, Barry.
All right, I'll do the intro while you're checking. Welcome, folks, to the Week 9 show of the Take the Points College Football Podcast. I'm going to do the intro real slow because my co-host Dan Partridge is checking a line. This is going to be a good show because Dan has bet the SMU-Houston game, which is currently ongoing as we record this. He's got the under, and what are we at right now, Dan?
We're looking at, I've already assumed that's a loss, and we're looking at NBA bets for late night.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, we're already at, what, 50 points-ish in the third?
Look, yes. I got under 65.5. If you listeners hear this and it came in, it's a miracle, but my fault on that. Moving on.
Oh, well. High-powered AAC offense, never go against it again, except for, you know, one team, which we'll mention later, I'm sure.
Yes.
All right. So, it's Thursday. We're doing these Thursday shows, and I feel very removed from the previous week of games, so I don't really have much to say about last week. How about you guys? Anything that stood out from last week's Week 8 matchups?
Well, we had Wisconsin losing to Illinois. That happened. Lovey moved off the tarmac somehow, got a nice cozy seat in coach. They brought him a cocktail. I don't know. It's unbelievable. Like, this is the anti-tarmac report, like October. We got people looking like they're going to get canned and pulling stuff off, and all of a sudden, safe and sound. 2 weeks in a row. Can it possibly happen 3 weeks in a row this week? We'll find out. But, Wisconsin, again, their lackluster offense comes back to kill them every single year. They just can't put teams away. They're not explosive enough. It's the same old story. People buy into it. They're just a mediocre team. They just don't have enough high-powered offense to succeed. There's a light-years difference between them and Ohio State. We'll talk about that later as well. So, yeah. I think somebody's home. It might be the boogeyman. This is the Halloween episode. So, Tom, can you mind checking the door or locking it? One of the two?
That was, I believe, the acorns are falling off the trees and they hit my storm door since I'm recording in the basement.
Yeah, that's Michael Myers. That's who that was. He's on your roof.
Well, if I died during the podcast, you know, we used to say, like, send all my CDs to Dan, but, you know, we're in the digital age now, so I've got nothing to offer you.
I'll still take the CDs, and if you die on the podcast via Skype, this will be the same plot as, I believe, Halloween Resurrection, anyhow, where there's some kids who get murdered via webcam, so I don't see how this episode's going to be a miss. It looks like it's going to be a win-win.
Yeah, some good bets. Some fun times, and one of the hosts will not survive the show.
Yeah, it'd be good for ratings.
Yeah, listen, we're in year 8. We need a boost, man. I mean, the numbers we're still hovering in the 3 digits. A live murder would that's a good marketing ploy. I mean, it's not a good long-term strategy because then we're down to 2 hosts. But, you know, for a temporary ratings boost, you got to do what you got to do.
I agree. But I think that's it for me for last week. Anyone got anything else?
No, the Wisconsin thing was just very shocking. One of the biggest upsets I've seen in a while. I did go back after that and look up Wisconsin's schedule, and it's not quite as impressive as we thought. Their big signature wins are over Michigan and Michigan State, and Michigan, that was a weird game, and Michigan kind of quit. And Michigan State, it looks like maybe they're not that good. The other win was a big blowout win over South Florida, 49-0, and now we know that South Florida sucks. So maybe they're not good. I mean, Wisconsin's schedule gets a lot harder starting this week, so we'll find out. Are they going to rebound, or are we looking at like a 8-4 team that just happened to get their good games early? We will see.
To be determined. All right, well, are you ready to do some lines?
Yeah, let's get into the lines. Anything, I'm sure these will jog some memories as they do every week, but we'll get into the lines, and then I'm sure 2 seconds from now we'll be like, oh, let's talk about that game from 3 weeks ago.
All right, Tom. Well, we're going to start right off the bat on Saturday morning, Wisconsin at Ohio State. Ohio State minus 14.5. Looks like it's going to 15. Total of 50. Z, Big Ten, kick it off.
Yeah, a very hard bet given what happened last week. I mean, that kind of totally screwed up everybody's radar, I think. I think had the Illinois thing not happened, and let's say they won by 10 points or something, I think I would want to take the points and assume that Wisconsin's defense was good enough to at least keep it close. Jonathan Taylor on the ground, sort of shortening the game and all that good stuff. But after seeing that performance, man, I don't know how you could put stock in Wisconsin. So it's at Ohio State. Ohio State looks like a killer. Wisconsin, who the hell knows? I think you got to go Ohio State in this spot. They've got the killer instinct, and Wisconsin doesn't. But I would be open to alternate suggestions. I just don't feel good about it after last week. Small bet, Ohio State.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll give you the tool. Tim the Tool Man. No, I'll give you the tool. I get it then. I'll give you the two schools of thought. Wow.
You've got Jonathan Taylor Thomas in your mind.
I did. Well, I think so. Because, first of all, if Wisconsin had won last week, what would the spread be? I think that's my first thing. So
7.5, maybe?
Right, 7.5, 8, right? So in my mind, I'm just going to pretend like last week didn't happen. I'm going to say some weird fluke plays happened, and this line's now bloated. So, of course, from a gambling perspective, I think you have to like Wisconsin with the points there. But as I said at the top, I mean, these two programs are just light years apart. Like, Ohio State is more explosive on offense. They send more people to the NFL than Wisconsin. Not that Wisconsin sends nobody, but more and more high profile. They're just more skillful. They're more, I don't know, scary, I guess is kind of a word. Mm-hmm. So for me, because the two kind of things contradict each other, I mean, I'm going to stay away from this game. I might put a little bit on the over. The over is only 50. And Ohio State scores a lot of points, and I don't like betting unders. I'm not in the mood after tonight. So, yeah, there you go.
This is a weird one. Kind of like Dan was saying with the skill positions is interesting because when I kind of break it down, you're like, who's the best player in this game? I still think it's Jonathan Taylor. I still think he is the number one best player on the field between the two teams. The problem is Ohio State probably has the next 17 before the next Wisconsin player. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not like a knock. It's like Ohio State has like 17 five-star guys in their roster. Ohio State has Jonathan Taylor. So it's kind of a weird spot there where I think my brain is already getting into NBA mode where I'm like, oh, well, the best player on the field is on Wisconsin. So I'll just take Wisconsin. But it's different. It's football, and it's really interesting. So my brain is telling me to go with Ohio State. They've looked really, really good. A lot of people have them as number one on their polls, which is a little bit ridiculous to me. But I hate Ohio State, so give me a little taste on Wisconsin.
So this is where I disagree with you. I think Justin Fields is one of the best QBs in the country and has really emerged. But I also think if we're counting both sides of the field, then Chase Young on Ohio State, for those who haven't seen him play, God, this is why I fucking hate Ohio State, because every year they just like reload with these guys who are like top five picks. But Young is like, he's one of the best they've had there that I can remember in like at least the last 10 years, even by the standards of Ohio State D linemen, the Boses and whatnot. Like, this guy is scary as hell. So if anyone's going to shut down JTT, he might be the one.
It's fair.
Okay, then. I just want to talk about this, not because – okay. Also at noon, Iowa travels to Northwestern. If you go out Friday night and you have too many drinks and you're looking for a nap, tune into this one. Iowa minus 10. What I care about is this total I see over here, 37.5. Oof. Ooh.
Big Ten fever. Catch it.
Tom, can you bet the over on 37.5 Iowa at Northwestern? Northwestern can score no points. We've seen this. They're not going to score more than 20 the entire, like, ever.
25-13 would get you there.
That's a lot.
It's, yeah, I wouldn't feel good about it. I mean, it's possible. No. I mean, it could happen for sure, but I would not take that.
No, Vegas is telling you it's 24-14, and I don't see either of those numbers hitting. This is like 16-3. I'm taking this under with the utmost confidence. I might even make it a lock of the week.
And under 37, lock of the week.
This is like watching two NFC East teams trying to hump a doorknob. This is terrible. This is field goals at best.
I mean, Iowa can move the ball from time to time. They're just not finishers. They can't close. But there's, yeah, that Iowa defense against this Northwestern offense, you're if they put up 12, that's a good showing from Northwestern.
All right, that's a horrible game.
I think that on. Actually, yeah, I think that might be a good bet. Do it.
Under.
Yeah.
I can't talk myself into something higher than 24-14.
Let's go score.
One of these days, the Big Ten's going to have an under in the 20s, like 29.5. It's going to happen.
Looking forward to the day.
It was be like the version – the reverse version of, remember when Baylor or one of those teams hit like 85 and we're like, no, they cleared. First it was somebody cleared 80 and then they got to like 84.5 and then it got bumped up to over 85. And then it like one of these days, there'll be a 90 point spread between like Washington State and Oregon or somebody like that. But the Big Ten is going in the other direction.
Yeah, strong.
We're going to get to that 29.5. It's going to happen in my lifetime.
Okay, moving on. TCZ's Pitt Panthers hosting the Miami Hurricanes. Pitt laying 5.5. Total of 43. I like Pitt. How can you not? They just went on the road and thoroughly manhandled Syracuse. Miami's no good. Pitt's really far away. Classic Miami on the road. Total mess. Lay the 5.5 with Pitt. I think they're going to cover.
Oh, yeah. Lay it with confidence. There is a very small chance that the U is going to go up to Heinz Field and travel well. So this is an under 43 scenario as well. To me, this is a Pit in the underhook. State stinks. Go Tech.
Northern football. Let me just add, I don't know the weather report for this game, and Pitt, I guess, is a little bit further south than Hartford, Connecticut, but we'll describe to the listeners, since this is an audio medium, I'm wearing 3 shirts in October because I'm freezing up here. And today's a nice day. Like, today was the nicest day of the week. So it's gotten northeastern cold, And the boys from Miami, it's still quite warm down there. They are not going to like it. This has the, like, what we call the Boston College special written all over it, where the hot weather team comes up north and they're like, the fuck is this? It's October. Why is it so cold? And then they just quit. So,
and they're like, this team's, we have no interest in being here.
Yeah, we're not winning the ACC. We're already like 5-3, whatever. Let's just get back to Miami as quickly as possible.
Correct.
I got a Pitbull concert to go to. I got to get out of here.
Okay, moving on. We aren't going to talk about Liberty at Rutgers and how the total's 44.5. We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about how Liberty is a -7 favorite over Rutgers.
Okay, that's the final noon game we're going to talk about. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Liberty is laying 7.5 on the road against the Big...
Oh, it's up to 7.5?
Yeah, that's steaming up. Holy,
oh, that that's opened at 7. Up. That means there's some big Liberty money coming in.
Rutgers in the last 2 weeks have thrown for 14 yards.
Yes.
It's real math.
No,
it's 1 plus 13.
That sounds like a joke you would make, but that is legitimate.
14 yards. So,
but we had this discussion. We always talk about UConn and just shut the program down, just shut it down. I still think that Rutgers has the potential. I mean, it's going to take a long time, Dan, decade, maybe two. But Rutgers could one day be a football powerhouse if they played their cards right. It'll take a lot, but they're in the New York City market. New York City has 8 million people. If there was more of a football culture, there is enough athletes there to formulate a program. New Jersey's got a decent football culture. Pennsylvania, you know, one day if they could even get the like second or third level guys from those states, they'd be all right. You know?
So you're saying if they start chopping wood, they might win some games?
Well,
is that what you're implying?
Well, yes. from a wins and losses standpoint, Shiano would be a big upgrade.
I'm putting you now, on the Carmack report this week.
Now, if you want to factor in any kind of moral or ethical take into this, then I cannot support this. I don't feel like, you know, there's other stuff to do in the New Jersey, Manhattan area. I don't feel like you have to go to Shiano. You know what I mean? At some point, you just have to say, like, I'd rather just suck. So that's not how I would go. You know, you might as well. You're better off just getting, like, Butch Jones or something like that.
They're not far off.
What Tennessee castoff could Rutgers hire? Dooley? Jones? They could probably get them all in, like, a package deal.
They might.
All of them. Okay, moving on.
I mean, they're all like, if Nick Saban will release them from his like cell in the Alabama special counselor cell. No?
Sarkisian. I think Sarkisian would be fitting well in New York City. It feels like his drinking problem would fit in real well.
All right, moving on.
So, I had to say some wild shit to shut it down. Oklahoma -24 at Kansas State. The last noon game we'll talk about. Here's my argument for Oklahoma in this game, amongst all the other bullshit. They're on a bye next week, and this is their last chance to show voters or all whatever the bullshit. They're on a bye next week, and then the first BCS rankings come out. So we all know teams like to show off before those first BCS rankings come out. So look for Oklahoma to lay the wood once again and lay the fucking 24 because they're pretty much unstoppable right now. Easy money.
Yeah, Kansas State sucks.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kansas State, but my understanding is they're not that great this year. And Oklahoma looks great. I mean, these top four or five teams look so good this year.
So far.
I see some cracks, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep hammering them.
Clemson's got cracks. Bama got cracks.
Well, Bama's crack is that their quarterback keeps getting these little injuries. So we'll see.
We'll see in 2 weeks. Okay, so moving on now to the 3:30 Eastern slate. We could talk about Auburn LSU, but that's not the game of the week. We're going to start in Amherst, Massachusetts, where the Minutemen of UMass host the Huskies of Connecticut. UConn laying 10 points on the road at UMass, total of 62. I got a very good stat for you, Tom.
Yeah.
In sports betting, people who don't sports bet have the misconception. They don't understand how it works. Vegas wants equal money on each side. They want teams to cover 50% of the time. They want Alabama to go 6-6 against the spread this year, for instance.
Right.
UConn, in their past 20 games, is 1-19 as a favorite. Ryan, I told that to him. He said, is this going back 30 years? Which is
right. The most shocking thing is that UConn has been a favorite 20 times.
Correct, but they've only covered the spread as a favorite once in 20 games. And it's not like they, you know, it's upsets or anything. This is just Vegas setting a fair line on each side. And Vegas has been that wrong on how bad UConn is. So that leads me to this week. And as an alum, I will start this off and then kick it to the boys. Take UMass. Last year, I got all fired up on the podcast and I said, listen, we're UConn. We don't lose to UMass. I guarantee a win this year. That didn't happen. We lost to Rentschler. This team's worse than last year's. I don't care if the whole UMass team quit and fucking UMass Lowell transferred over their squad and they're starting this game. It don't matter. Take UMass and the points. Count the money at the window. Lock of the week, UMass Minutemen. Very simple. Ryan, would you like to comment on the Huskies?
Pass.
Okay, thank you. Tom.
There's nothing I can add to that. This line is disgraceful.
It's an insult to the people of Massachusetts. They should be more upset about this line than President Trump. Like, they should be actually protesting in the streets because of this spread. This is ridiculous. Anyway, now moving on to the real game of the week.
They got legal Auburn. Weed up there, so they, you know, they're too relaxed to go point. Protest.
I forgot about that. Well, that's true. Here we go. Auburn at LSU, 3:30 in the swamp, rain in the forecast, LSU laying 11, total 59. Ryan, start this one off. For being so nice during the UConn segment, you deserve to go first now. I think from now on, after the UConn game, Ryan gets to go first.
He just gets like 5 minutes because we just go off on UConn.
Maybe I'll set him a fucking softball for the Tarmac Report next week. After the UConn game, I'll be like, okay, talk about Tennessee. So anyway.
All right. This is a tough one. Like, this is really, really hard because you look at this and the first impression is 59 seems too low for LSU's offense and 11 seems too high for a rivalry game. But once you kind of dig into watching these teams play, it's really, really hard to be able to justify an Auburn bet. LSU just looks really, really sharp. I get a little bit worried about how much smoke everyone's blowing up their ass and how much they're slurping them. So that makes me a little nervous. But in this scenario, like, I just don't see a freshman quarterback going into the swamp where LSU on those 2:30 Central Time starts are like they have the most like preposterous win-loss record of all time in that time spot. Any other time spot but 3:30 Eastern could go any way. But 3:30 Eastern, they're unbeatable at the swamp. So for that reason alone, I'm going to lay the points.
Z?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the fact that this one's super tough. And I just kind of look at the fact that LSU covered against Florida, and then therefore on paper, Florida's a better team than Auburn. They should be able to cover this lower line against Auburn. However, their next game, even though they have a bye, their next actual game is the Bama game. They are just coming off a stretch of big games, and I feel like there's got to be some mini letdown spot in there somewhere. So I'd be very wary of this one. Auburn likes to play sloppy football. So I could see them winning this game by 6 or 9 points or something like that and failing to cover. LSU is clearly the better team here, though. So if you're going to pick a side, I mean, I'll always go with the superior team and talent, especially when they're at home. So I'm going to say lay it with LSU, but confidence level very low.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff going on for this game. First of all, the spread. People are like, why is this spread comparable to Florida? It's like only 2 points. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the weather, and it's a little bit later in the year now. But Auburn still has a freshman quarterback. He's not throwing for 350 yards. Auburn's been a covering machine. I mean, they are, I think, 6-1 against the spread this year, which is pretty impressive, very impressive. But LSU is just so great. I mean, even in the Florida game, Florida's offense was clicking and moving the ball, and LSU is just too good at home. They're just at home. It's ridiculous. I saw it firsthand. I learned my lesson. I won't do it, but I won't bet LSU either in this game. I'm actually going to lean an over. I think this game gets in the 60s somehow. So I'll take over 59 for a little bit and have some fun with it while I, you know, really sweat UMass on a laptop.
Yeah. Is that the stadium app or is that on, what, Google Hangouts? Where do you watch that game?
I'm a UConn alumni, so they do a hotspot from stores, and they beam it out on satellite, and I get it to the iPhone.
They do like a WebEx?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a WebEx. It's really ridiculous.
Invite only. You got to call in?
I can have conversations with the head coach. It's like interactive. He's like, all right, guys, should we pass or run here? They're like, run, pass. Like, oh, you guys.
You know what, like, Dan? You just might have stumbled on a great idea. UConn, listen, the season's shot anyway. Nobody's coming to these games. It's a huge problem here, attendance at the UConn games. And they're like, what can we do to spice it up? Everyone's like, sell beer. They're like, what else could we do to spice it up? Well, here's what they could do. Like, I just went to this event where everybody got these clickers and you kind of like vote on things in real time. You know what I mean? Like everyone clicks it and it's like choice A and you can see the bar going up. What if every play call that UConn did during the game was just selected by the like 2,000 fans that show up to Rentschler using these clickers? You know, we'll point the big screen so that like the other team can't see it. You know, like when you play Madden with your friends and it's like, you gotta like, they gotta look away when you're selecting your play.
Okay. So, all right, moving on. Another huge game, shady spread of the week alert. The alarm's going off for this one. Texas Longhorns travel to Fort Worth track to take on Texas Christian. Texas is laying 1.5. Total 57.
Rivalry game.
The hell's going on here? Allegedly. The hell is going on? Can someone explain? You guys start. I need to look at some stuff. Go right ahead.
Ryan. This is the shady line of the week. I don't understand this. When Dan told me this line on Sunday night, I told him he was full of shit. I was like, there's no chance that that's 1.5. I don't care if Texas has whatever, 2 losses. Like, TCU is no good. They're the absolute like definition of mediocre this year. They're just not impressive at all to me, and I just can't see any reason really why, besides like a suspension or an injury that I'm unaware of. Like, I don't see any reason why Texas shouldn't be favored by a touchdown even.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't done any research on this game, so I must admit my ignorance, but it seems way, way off. So I'm trying to Google this quickly and see what's up.
There's nothing to research. Everyone's back from TCU for the last couple of weeks. They've sucked for the last couple of weeks. They lost to Kansas State last week. Before that, they were on a bye. Before that, they got hammered by Iowa State. They're not good. The same players are playing. Texas, yeah, whatever. They should have lost to Kansas. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. They still won the game. They got Sam Ellinger. It's 1.5. The total is only 57. This smells like a Texas over hook'em. Screw it. Like, Texas is not losing this game. I don't care. They're minus 125 on the money line. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm pissed. Hook'em. By the way, I was watching this thing on ESPNU at work today. Don't tell anybody that. It was on anyway. No. But they were talking about the colors of college football, the best colors. And, of course, they did a little segment on the burnt orange of Texas, and that's what I saw. And Mac Brown came on, and he said, you know, someone came up with, you know, yada, yada, and he was like, I told everybody, everyone has to wear burnt orange. And the women in town were like, we don't look good in burnt orange. And he said, look, I only need you to wear burnt orange for 4.5 hours a week. That's it. And please just wear it for me. And they did. I was like, I saw that and I was like, Mac, that's so good. A couple things here. The way he said that was just so southern and like smooth and amazing. But the way he was like, 4.5 hours, because that's actually how long a college football game is when Texas is involved. Like 49-47. He's like, yeah, 4.5 hours. So anyway, then Vince Young came on wearing a very similar shirt to you, Tom, by the way, right now, and said how much he loved Texas, and it was just great. So I really enjoyed that.
Well, the Banana Republic, where I get this shirt, is right next to the Cheesecake Factory, so it would make sense that he would shop there.
That does help.
The only thing I can find is that TCU has won 5 of the last 7, and it seems to be just like a historical thing.
They're going to historically lose on Saturday. So
yeah, what? I mean, this is not the same TCU team. It's obvious to you guys, but this is not the same TCU that's played the last 7 games.
In the 5 out of 7, that's because that was during the Chaz Strong dark years.
Right, at Chaz Strong, and then the like.
And Trevon Boykin lighting it up, finishing top 5 in the Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, that probably dates back to Andy Dalton.
Yeah, No, Texas, hook 'em, let's go.
Hook 'em, let's go. Tom, here we go. Penn State at Michigan State. Game of the week, part 3.
Oh.
Penn State -6, facing that really bad Michigan State team that's off a bye, that no one's has no chance to win. After the week, Penn State plays a night game, a whiteout game against Michigan, where they got dominated in the second half and got lucky on a drop to win the game. But anyway, would you like to lay 6 points on Saturday on the road in East Lansing on the last Saturday in October?
Well,
Halloween weekend, all the spooky shit on ABC and the spiders and all that, it's going to be on the screen.
Well, Dan, this is a very interesting question. And we've had, you know, one top 10 team lose the last several weeks. You know, one seems to go down every week. And, you know, I'm not feeling great right now. I still remember last year when Penn State got waxed by Michigan, and they were allegedly like a top 10 team at the time. And then again, they had to turn around and they had to play Michigan State, and they were completely down, and it showed in the game, and they lost, I think it was like 17-14 or some pathetic display. And I was on an airplane at the time, and I was like, damn it. And then everyone was looking at me. I'm like, my bad. Penn State sucks. They're blowing this game. Trace McSorley's supposed to be better than this. This year's the opposite. They come off the emotional win, and are they going to keep the energy up for Michigan State? We already know the answer to this. The best play here, I hate to say it, is Michigan State +6.5, which, of course, as we know, is going to creep up to a touchdown by game time. So
it's down to 6. It's down
to 6. Oh, it's going down. Oh, see, people know then. Yeah, I mean, on paper, this Penn State team's better than this Michigan State team. Their defense should keep them in check, and Penn State's offense should be able to do just enough to win the game, you know, like 24-20 or whatever. But first off, if that happens, that's not a cover, and I'm very scared.
I'm sure you are. This is a very scary game.
This
You're
feels,
right.
I mean, this feels like a Michigan State money line to me. If I was not a Penn State fan, and I was just looking at this objectively, this is Michigan State's had their number over the last decade too many times. And Dan, when you're playing for an award so great as the Land Grant Trophy, the greatest trophy in all of sports, you know, you got to play extra hard. The Land Grant Trophy, which not only is the trophy itself a piece of shit, it looks like 8 different trophies just taped together. But the just general idea of we're the best land-grant college in the Northeast is just not
It doesn't have the old oomph it used to.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of mileage out of making fun of the civil conflict. I feel like the land grant, just because it's been around longer, it has more credibility, I guess, but it is almost as big of a joke.
I hated being a Penn State fan growing up and Penn State going like 9-3 and playing the last game of the year after Thanksgiving against Michigan State, knowing they weren't going to go play in a big bowl. They're going to go play the fucking Outback Bowl.
Yeah, Outback or Alamo. What are we doing?
They were like, this is the land grant trophy game. And I'm like, no one cares about this. I want to play in the goddamn fucking Rose Bowl. We're going to, like, so anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a touchy subject. At least they moved that Michigan State game off the final weekend of the year.
Yeah, now we get Rutgers.
Rivalry. That was stupid. All right, moving on. By the way, I like the under in that game. I don't think it gets over 35.
What is the total?
I'm going to take the lowest alt total they offer. I think Penn State wins 12-6. That's my prediction.
What's the total in the game?
I'm serious. 44 and a half. 43
no,
and a half.
No way.
Way under.
Way under. Penn State, Iowa 2. Same score. What was that score?
17-12.
That's it. 29. There's your 29 and a half, Tom. Under 29 and a half. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on. Here's another one that's going to be all fucked up. Syracuse at Florida State.
Oh, this week's crazy.
This week is literally crazy.
Vegas is trying to mess with us. Like, these are too hard, too unfair, and too discouraging, I guess.
These lines are trying to make me go broke before, 3 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday.
I know. I'm shutting it down. I'm going to, password protect or put the parental controls on my sportsbook account. And I'm just going to make myself stay away.
Oh, Tom, you can't sleep with that airplane over your head.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Tom.
Ryan, before you start, I just want you to know every other tarmac report, when you start it, it's like, oh, wow, he did the tarmac report for, Illinois versus Penn State. He's going to make fun of Lovie Smith. But this time, I don't know who you're going to talk about.
Well, I gave some very careful thought to maybe putting Dino on this list. He did not make the list this week. However,
it's not his fault.
So here's the thing. Dino's not going to get fired. He'll leave for a better job before he gets fired. People just love Dino in the football world. I think it doesn't matter how bad Syracuse is this year. He's won enough goodwill that he's good. He's got a buffer.
Yeah, you got to watch it. I hate to say anything bad about our beloved Lane Kiffin, but you don't want to stay too long after a good season. You know what I mean? Much like guys declaring for the pros, there is a window to take your opportunity. And, if I'm Dino, I'll take the money and run after the season.
Well, DeVito fooled him like he fooled me. And, you're going to take that L, bring in the new guy, and he's got one more quarterback to figure this out. And if he can't, he's going to bounce. However, speaking of can't find a competent quarterback, so he might just bounce. Number five, we got Jim Harbaugh. That's right.
Oh.
Khaki, guess what? You suck. You're no good. Kids don't like you. Your act has gotten stale. You need to go back to the NFL where you can act like a cock and they're not going to say shit to you. Just go. Go work for Jerry Jones and be a puppet like you're destined to be. Because your personality on its own sucks, so you might as well just do whatever Jerry tells you to do. Because you can't think for yourself and be competent.
I want a rebuttal to this when you're done.
Nope. Veto. Executive order. Veto. Harbaugh sucks. Number four. Clay Helton. Oh, I didn't forget about you. You're going to lose on Friday night at Colorado.
To Montez.
Montez is going to shred you for 340. This is where he makes his case to be a third-round draft pick. Montez.
Josh Allen gets injured a lot, Ryan. We need a capable backup.
Montez.
Bring
Montez,
him in.
Come up to Buffalo.
He's going to start for Denver next year, 100%.
Yep.
He's going to be the fourth round regional pick.
It's going to be him and that running back. It's going to be all regional. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. Joining Clay at the Admirals Club at LAX is his boy Chip Kelly. Maybe you guys get a discount if you go in together. You can say you're a couple. They'll give you a domestic discount.
I'm laughing at the Admirals Club, my man. No chance. See you at Chili's too.
Well, they're going to get thrown out of the Admirals Club for getting too drunk. Eventually, they're going to end up at a Chili's trying to double team a waitress with six teeth.
Chili's 2.
Oh, God. Chip, it's not your year, man. It's just, you're done. It's over. Move back to TV. I actually like Chip on TV. He's clever. Number two. Oh, Willie. I
forgot about you.
Laying 10 at home against a listless Orange Squad who's just dying to get out of that upstate weather. Oh, man, this is not looking good for you, Willie. I have a feeling I'm going to be a degenerate and take the plus 275 Orange money line because I just can't trust you, Willie, to put together multiple games in a row where you look like an actual competent coach. You're going to screw this up. Like, he's going to have one timeout with 7 minutes left in the first quarter. I can't wait. It's the best. And coming in at number one, it's pretty obvious. I actually thought and talked to Dan about this week doing a special Tarmac report where this guy was all five spots. I really told Dan, I'm like, coming in at number five, Jeremy Pruitt. Number four, Jeremy Pruitt. 3-2-1 is also Jeremy Pruitt. That piece of shit put his hands on his quarterback. I'm not making jokes. I'm not being funny. You cannot, in 2019, put your hands on a player. I don't care that he barely touched it. He let go right away. It doesn't matter. You know better than this. You are a grown-ass man who studied under Nick Saban. Nick Saban waits till he gets in the locker room and burns their fingers with a lighter. You don't grab their face mask in public on TV when there's a billion HD cameras. Like, they read your lips when you're melting down. They're obviously going to see this. You don't deserve to be on the coaching staff now. You should have been fired that night as soon as you did that. If that was me, I would have fired him on the spot. Walked down on the field as the AD and said, get your ass out of here. We're done. So Jeremy Pruitt, not only are you a bad coach, you're a fucking asshole. And I don't curse a lot on this podcast, but I feel confident saying that. Don't ever put your hands on a player again. You're lucky he didn't pummel you. He is so much bigger than you. That's the Tarmac report. Jeremy Pruitt, you don't deserve to coach anymore.
We've been fired up on this show. So I have a Tarmac follow-up. So we're getting to that point of the season. Regardless of how much they deserve it, who of the following three do you actually think will be first or has the best chance to go? I think we got a three-man race between Taggart, Pruitt, and Helton. Because my personal opinion, I think Helton is right on the chopping block. I mean, I think he's got three games left. I said at the beginning of the year when he goes out to Tempe in a couple weeks, I think he's staying in Tempe and retiring with all the other retirees down in Arizona.
It's very nice out here.
Yeah, that's a great spot. Like, you could do a lot worse. You got, whatever, 3 years as a USC coach, and now you get to spend the rest of your life in Scottsdale. Not a bad gig. But I think, you know, regardless of who maybe deserves it, I think he's got, whatever, 2-3 weeks left. So I think the question is, can that be beat?
I mean, he has the most logical path to getting fired because the AD's gone, the president's from freaking, you know, Akron or whatever. Like, it's the most logical path for him to be first.
And he's had it. He's had his time. I mean, he's had enough of a chance. Pruitt and Taggart, I mean, we know that it's not getting better. But
Willie's not going to get fired this season. I'm going to keep putting him on the tarmac because he's incompetent. He's not going to get fired. He might get fired in the offseason, but he's going to make it through the year. Pruitt and Helton, it's a neck and neck race. Helton's probably the most logical bet if you're going to lay money on this. But Pruitt, man, like I get too steamed up thinking about that guy. Like that really pisses me off what he did.
I feel like Pruitt, I mean, he still has the, I haven't been here long enough to institute my way with my guys yet. You know, give me some more time. I feel like that will work with enough people.
Maybe.
We know it's a charade.
Bought him some time, but I don't know. If he snaps on the sidelines with another player, he's going to be fired immediately. He's got to be.
I want to say to all Tennessee fans, this is the state of your program. I was watching Penn State, Michigan, so I would only tune in occasionally to Bama, Tennessee. But I was watching, and they were relatively close, and then the final was, 35-13? I saw that. I was like, not bad. It's like you lost to your rival by 23 points, 22 points. And I was like,
it's half of what I expected.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You covered. So if I was a Tennessee fan and I heard that, I would not be pleased. Like if people were talking about Penn State that way, oh yeah, you only lost to Michigan by 22 points. Not bad. I'd be like, shoot, that's we got to do something ASAP. Where's Matt Rhule? Get Matt Rhule on the phone.
Oh, now you're speaking my language.
All right, let's get back into it, boys. Are we ready?
Yeah. This has been a long show. We got to get to some Baylor Bears. Yeah.
Ryan, excellent tarmac report. Great. Excellent synopsis of the losers that are out there.
Thank you.
Although, Tom, I'm going to admit something to you live on air. I may have had Michigan Moneyline live plus 1,400 last week. So sick.
I was worried the whole time.
Yeah, it should have been.
Michigan, I mean, tale of two halves. You know, Penn State played just better than Michigan in the first half, obviously, and just played, you know, they got the early 21, and it was just so key because Michigan dominated that second half. And, like, if Penn State didn't just get a couple of those bombs and jump out to that early lead, like, Michigan definitely would have won that game, which is why I'm very, very scared for this week. But that's all right.
All right. Moving on. Getting it done. Moving on to the late slate. Arkansas, who's really terrible, travels to Alabama. Bama laying 32, total 55.5. I like the under a lot in this game. I think this is classic Bama, like 34-3, 34-13, 31-16, 38-10. Like I don't see this going over at all. I think obviously Alabama's defense knows Tua's hurt. They're going to talk all week how the defense is, you know, going to have to lead them, and they're going to go for a shutout for sure. So really, really like under 55.5 this week in that game. That's my big play.
32 scares me without Tua. 55.5 does not scare me at all. I love the under as well, Dan. That's the only bet to make unless you can find a shutout prop. I love giving those out. This is absolutely the shutout game of the week.
Yeah. Win. Style points don't matter. So just low scoring slop fest. Take your bye week. Go play LSU. Simple as that.
27-0.
No one cares. That's the only pick. I mean, you're going to get a lot of running game in this one.
Oh, my God.
A lot of running game. Not very much Mac Jones.
Oh, I can't. That's so good, by the way. Good for you, Tom. I love that.
Yeah.
Second of all, and like Alabama, even if they win this game like 20-13, no one's going to care. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't mean that.
They get a free pass on this game as long as they win.
Yep. All right. What else we got tonight? Here we go. Fake big game of the week. The anti-game of the week. The game I don't want to watch a minute of. You can probably guess this one, Tom. Notre Dame, Michigan.
Ooh, the Blue Bloods. Historic college football programs. The best of the best, Dan. The upper crust. You're jealous. You're just not elite enough to get into either of these universities and be part of the historic fan bases.
You know, thanks for exposing my true, you know, inner feelings there. But
can I interject for a second? I was watching that College Football 150 thing, and they did the episode on Notre Dame, and I tuned in, and for the first 10 minutes, they're just like, a historic franchise, the Subway fans, fans all around the globe, locked up with the Catholic religion. This means more than just football. It's a religious experience. Notre Dame, the greatest franchise in history. Then they go to a commercial break, and then they come back and they go, Manti Te'o. It was so good. It was like, it was the
first.
And it's funny because it was on, you know, ESPN. And of course, you know, they hate Notre Dame because they have the deal with the other network. And so they spent like way, considering they're talking about 150 years of college football, they dedicated way too much time to Manti Te'o, which is pretty hilarious, but insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But they just had to like rub it in. I enjoyed it too.
Curse for him forever. I have no feel at all for this game. It's Notre Dame minus 1.5, total 51.5. I'm not going to bet this game. Anybody got anything?
Notre Dame's the better team, but Michigan's been improving each week.
Honestly, I was going to save this game to break out the tarmac report, but it's such a trash game, I didn't even think we were going to talk about it on the podcast. So I was, that's why I jumped in with Willie, because I honestly didn't even know if we'd talk about this game, because I have no interest in it.
You know what? Give me a Michigan money line. I think they're going to pull the upset. I'm not going to watch, but that's what I think. I think they're going to pull the upset. They've been getting better each successive week. Notre Dame just kind of is in a stasis where they're not really improving at all.
Okay. All
that, right, I mean, going out on a limb, Notre Dame's the better, more well-rounded team. Michigan's got some young guys. They don't have the same talent level as usual, but I just feel like Michigan's growing, and they're going to be so mad after last week. Notre Dame, I don't know. I get this weird sense about Notre Dame that even though they're one of the like six, like seven best teams, they're kind of not really in the playoff hunt because the other teams above them are so good. And so it doesn't mean more, as they would say in the SEC.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll get there. Oh my God. Okay. All right. So Jesus Christ, I just saw a line I can't wait to talk about, but we will get there. That's not for a couple minutes. I'm going to power through the other ones. I'm so excited. Arizona State travels to UCLA, totals 55.5. Do not bet the over. Do not bet the over again. A lot of unders this week. Arizona State, UCLA, under 55.5. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Watch the HBO Hard Knocks. What's the name of it? 24/7 with Herm. Highly recommend. Good stuff. Herm, you guys live there, so you know this, but this was an experience for me. I thought, I didn't realize he's, what we see in the press conferences is how he is all the time.
Always.
He's the walking press conference. He's great.
Herm's the best because Herm only speaks in cliche.
Mm-hmm.
But when the way he says it, sounds awesome. If anyone else like was saying the things that he said, like when I read it in my voice, I'm like, reading a Herm press conference and watching a Herm press conference are totally different. Because when you read it, you're like, this guy didn't say shit. He just spoke in cliche. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is amazing. This guy is like absolutely like riveting TV to watch. So
it's all in the subtext. But yeah, I'm a Penn State fan. I historically like Florida and those teams and Danny Werfel. But of the four 24/7s, the Herm, the team I have no connection to, ASU, was the best one of all of them. Better than the Penn State one, better than the Florida one. I haven't watched the Mike Leach one, but I'm very excited about that too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of Mike Leach, let me just throw this real quick out to you guys. I was listening to a podcast the other day. I don't know if you guys know the Ryan Russillo podcast. It's he left ESPN, went to The Ringer. Every Monday he does a recap NFL podcast with Chris Long. And this week, as I'm driving home from the grocery store listening, Chris Long was talking about doing a segment on coaches he would love to get a beer with. And he's like, but before we do that, let me tell you the coaches that I have, like, had some great experiences with. He goes, I used to get hammered with Danny Amendola all the time and drunk dial Mike Leach. Now, I'm sitting at a red light in, like, the heart of Scottsdale. I'm laughing my ass off in my car by myself. And he's, like, telling, he's like, here's the thing about Mike Leach. Always answers the phone. 3 a.m. Loaded. I'm calling Mike Leach. He's going to talk for an hour. He goes, he doesn't just pick up and be like, hey, guys, good to hear from you. Talk to you another time. He's like, if Mike Leach picks up the phone, it is an hour conversation. He's like, we used to do it all the time. He's like, all his players love him. Amendola still drunk dials him like once every month. So just want to throw that in there on the Mike Leach side. Really thought that was hilarious that his former players drunk dial him and he always picks up.
My number one takeaway from watching these 24/7 things on HBO is that all coaches get up insanely early. I knew that all high profile and business people, and as you get older, everyone wakes up earlier, but James Franklin was talking about being up like 5 o'clock. Dan Mullen's talking about being up at 5 o'clock. Herm is like, yeah, I leave for the office like 4:15. Like, Jesus, Herm.
We got to beat the heat out here.
That's what it's all about. Arizona is all about leaving early. Like, rush hour starts on the west side at exactly 5 a.m. If you're on the highway on the west side at 5, it's gridlocked. It's crazy.
That is bad. That sounds bad.
Like, for years, Tom, I worked from, like, 4 a.m. to, like, 1 in the afternoon out here. Like, that was my schedule. Crazy.
Yeah. Anyway. I remember those were the weird podcasts when you were, like, completely shot.
Yeah. Well, there's some... They're on the archive. All right. There are two more games left to talk about tonight. We're going to start in Eugene, Oregon. Washington State travels to Oregon. Oregon's laying 14, total of 65. I like the under again. It's the under week for me. Oregon's defense is so good. I don't think Washington State's going to go up and down the field and score points. Washington State's defense is no good. Oregon might blow them out pretty well. So I'm actually looking at an Oregon under hook maybe in this game. But sometimes under and large favorite hooks are hard, which we will get to in a second.
Yes. So for that reason, Dan, this is the only over that I really like this whole week. I think this is an opportunity for both teams to kind of get up and down a little bit. I think if Oregon does what we expect, which is start hot, get up big, they can absolutely take their foot off the gas a little bit. Washington State can make a little run. This is a scary backdoor spot for me, so I'm staying away from the 14. But I actually kind of like the over in this. I think this might be like a 40-30 type of game.
That's all I got, Tom. You got anything on this one?
Are you waiting for me?
Yeah, I forgot it was the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, as the great philosopher Aristotle once said, no, of course I have no thoughts on the Pac-12. Pass.
Okay, last game of the night. This is a great one. Now, one of my favorite things about sports betting is when Vegas, and I quote, has had enough, okay? It happens in different sports for a bunch of different things where they're like, okay, fuck this. We're tired of everybody hitting on these same bets. We're going to do something this week where we ain't losing both sides. Mm-hmm. To date, Utah is 6-1 as a team. They lost one high-scoring game to USC where they did not cover the spread and the game went over. Outside of that, all other six of their games, Utah has covered, and all six of those other games, Utah has went under the total. Utah is 6-1 against the spread, 6-1 to the under. This week, they host California. Utah is laying 21 points with a total of 36.5. They said, you want to hook this, bitch? If you want to hook this, you're playing with fire. Because the only way that you can win this game is realistically 22-0 to like 36-0, and then like a variation of like 27-3. Like, I mean, there's very few combinations that give you an under and a Utah cover. I'm going to pay a close eye to this one. And if this game freaking ends 30-3 Utah, I'm going to laugh so hard. But that being said, I think I'm going to bet the under and Utah both and see if we can do this. Screw it.
Oh, I love it, man. I encourage this hook so hard.
So hard.
This is going to be anywhere, like Dan said, from 23-0
so hard
to 33-0. That's your range. 23-0 to 33-0.
Z.
I love this. I'm going to hook this all day.
Z, what's the team total on Cal's points?
I don't know much about Cal. I thought they're like a 10-point team, right? I mean, they score 10 points pretty much every week.
Yeah.
So, but Utah's better than all the teams they've played. So we're looking at...
They scored 7 at Oregon.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 7.
Yeah, it's 7.5. It's 9 minus 120 plus 125. It's 7.5. That's crazy for college football. They're saying, no, that's very Northwestern-esque. Tom, you might want to take a nap and come back for this. This is very Big Ten-ish. You were talking about you guys trying to get to a 29.5. We got ourselves a little 36.5 ball kicking off here. If this was next month in November, this number might be 32.5.
You know, Dan, when
snow in Utah, who knows?
When the country zigs, we in the Northeast zag. You know, there's so many games where you can watch Oklahoma State, Texas scoring 47-43. It all gets boring after a while. Nothing beats a good 12-9 Iowa Northwestern game. The beauty of college football defense.
Z.
Embrace it and embrace the beauty in the ugliness.
Well, that wraps up a pretty good week of lines we did there. Feels like we covered a lot of ground. By the way, Tom, since we started the podcast, no one's really scored in that Houston game. It's 34-23 with 9 minutes to go. I got a chance.
What's the over-under?
I got 65.5, and they're at 57, so I'm allowed another touchdown, basically. And SMU's up 11 with 9 minutes to go.
Oh, 9 minutes. Damn. I was going to say, we got to just keep this podcast going until we find out whether this hits, but I don't think we can go on for another 40 minutes in college football time.
That's correct. Well, we could, but we're not going to. Any parting shots? Anything we should talk about? What do you got?
This is our Halloween show. Anything you want to add for Halloween?
Mm-hmm. I will be in upstate New York for Halloween. That's going to be kind of scary.
Very cold and scary. I remember trick-or-treating with Tom many times, but one in particular, it snowed extremely hard. We left his front door. I remember we crossed the street. I vividly remember this. We crossed the street. We got candy from the first house, said, let's just cut through the lawn so we don't have to walk around. There was so much snow. We were all wet. We got to the second house. We said, this is horrible. And then I don't remember the rest of the night, but I remember us being soaked and we're like, this is the last Halloween we're trick-or-treating. The last one we ever did, it snowed like hell. I don't remember the year or age or anything. But after house two, we're like, what are we doing out here? It's cold. We could be playing video games. But I remember, yeah. And plus your neighborhood had hills and it was icy and you could see your breath because of the elevation and it just being an upstate. And
I don't think you can blame the Monta Vista Hill for seeing your breath in upstate New York in October.
That's the mountain. That's the Camillus Mountain. So anyway, good memories with that. The kids out here in Arizona, Tom, the outfits they can wear, the unbelievable college parties that they must have here on Halloween. Can you even fathom what's going on out here in Arizona?
I've seen some online videos that take place at Arizona State. Looks like a fun time.
Okay. Well, we've all seen those promotional Herm Edwards videos as well. So it's good to know that you watch that HBO show where Herm is shown at Arizona State. What else do we have to talk about? You want to talk about China?
What's going on in China? I mean,
just throwing that out there.
I know there's an NBA thing, but I don't know what it is, or I have no idea.
Everyone in China loves basketball. They have like 10 times the amount of people the United States do. There's TV contracts and shoe contracts just like here. But the Houston Rockets GM was like, hey, good for those Hong Kong protesters protesting for free speech.
No, and they're not going to like that.
And then China said, hey, Daryl Morey, we saw your tweet and shut the fuck up if you want your money. And then the NBA said, yeah, that guy just speaks for himself. We like basketball. And they said, and China said, all right, you're going to go fuck yourselves. So next year looks like the salary cap might have to go down. They blacked out the opening night of the NBA in China. It's not off to a good start so far. Basically, China is kind of flexing right now. And we have no answer at this point. There's been some half-assed comebacks by everybody, but no one's really crushed it. I mean, the people who have crushed it are the people standing up for it, like Shaq. On like Inside the NBA the other night was like, hey, good for Daryl Morey for that tweet. People should be able to say whatever they want. Like, and that's the beauty of social media, is you can say whatever you want. So I think Shaq had the best comment of anybody on this. Like, once again, so President Shaq coming up. It's very complicated. It's actually not that complicated. It's just money and big business. Like, you basically don't want to alienate or piss off your market. I mean, it's really that simple.
Yeah, China's realized the best way to, they've got so many people and so much money, they basically realize that America will just do whatever they say if it affects the money.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah, China's bad still. Like, they fool people into thinking they're better, but they're bad. I'm also trying to get this podcast canceled in China so we can get some news stories out of it.
Okay. Well, hopefully these Chinese censors come in here and they...
Free Tibet. Is Tibet free? I don't know.
I think the concert's canceled, so I think the concert worked.
I haven't heard much from the Beastie Boys lately, so I assume Tibet is free.
I think the acoustic performance of Karma Police freed Tibet.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard about Tibet. Either something good happened or something really bad, but they're off the radar.
I would like to talk about one random thing that's semi kind of not serious but true on the side.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A is a absolute model operational fast food chain here in the United States. They're going from number 5 to number 2 in sales and profit in 2019, just behind McDonald's, passing everybody else, and that's with being closed on Sunday. Every single company in America pretty much points to Chick-fil-A as being like a model on how you run your business. And, you know, even for me, it kind of aligns with what I do for a career or whatever. And I've sat in meetings and they're like, look at Chick-fil-A. If you treat your employee, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So
every industry has one of those companies.
So Chick-fil-A has been kind of assumed the company that cannot lose, they're unstoppable, and people should market their business around them. So the first Chick-fil-A opened up in Europe, in the UK, 12 days ago. And they're on a 6-month contract to try it out, and it's a no-brainer, right? You bring their successful customer service, their delicious food, it's chicken, everybody loves it. You can't lose, right? Wrong. 8 days into Chick-fil-A operating outside the United States, the owners said that they would not renew the lease agreement after the 6 months had passed. And they said, what the fuck? How do you know you're not going to renew this lease in 6 months based on 8 days? Are you not selling enough chicken? What the shit's going on here? Everybody loves this shit. And they said it's not the chicken or the sales, it's the protests and the social media and people not happy that we align with a company who doesn't have open, I guess you would say, moral views, that or has some questionable things with, you know, homosexuality.
Yeah, the anti-LGBT.
I think this is an amazing story that nobody is covering in America for good reason, because we don't want to admit that our unstoppable force can be stopped. This is a great lesson in business and just human nature and how people think that, you know, just because something works in one area, it doesn't always work everywhere else and doesn't work for many reasons. And in this case, it's because the people of the UK who are more forward-thinking than this freest country in the world, free America, they said, we will pass on your fried chicken sandwich. We'll find another one. Keep your evil company the fuck out of here. So good for them. Hats off. I still like Chick-fil-A, by the way.
I like it too. I mean, I don't go there often.
I have conflicting thoughts. I'm like, yeah. I hate this, but this milkshake's really malted and very thick. And it's right. If I make a right, I can make a right into my complex and I justify it and stuff like that. But anyway, I just think that's a really good story that no one's covering and talking about. That's pretty crazy. I'm sure the people who thought this was going with this was never going to happen in a million years. I mean, it's basically like open up a McDonald's in a country that doesn't have it for the first time or whatever. I mean, it's the exact equivalent. I'm just rambling, trying to keep this SMU game going at this point, trying to get this under. We're still at 57. But
I would say it's hard. It's hard to maintain principles around like what businesses you do and don't support when pretty much all major businesses are bad or have crazy or bad owners. For me, the one is like Home Depot. No matter what they do or what bad things their owner does or supports, it's like, the Lowe's is so far away. Like, I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I need to go there all the time for so much stuff for the house. And it's like, they're going to have to do something worse. Like, you know, there's not much Home Depot could do to lose my business.
You know, to just kind of add to this for a quick musical factoid, me and Ryan, well, a bunch of us like a band called Unknown Mortal Orchestra. And they've just, on their most recent album, they have a song called American Guilt. And he's a foreign guy, and he's lived in the United States for a lot of years, and he's, like, very anti-war and whatever. And he said, just living in the United States, you are contributing to, like, the war cost, right, because of how much taxes you pay. So just living here, you can protest all the fuck you want. In your lifetime, you're contributing tens or hundreds of thousands towards bombs or weapons or things just by living in the United States. So it's like, where do you draw the line exactly? Like, maybe they took all of your tax money and they built a bomb and they blew up a town in the Middle East with all your money, Tom. Like, how do you feel? Like, that's a very good point. Just living here, you're part of the fucking mess. So where do you draw the line? Nobody knows.
It would be funny. Yeah, it would be funny if each person's tax money just went to one thing. If they're like, the Predator drone was Dan. Anyway, I guess this would be a good time for me, or not a good time. I have a plug to end the show with. For the last year, basically, I've been working on, I alluded to cheating on you guys with a different podcast, but I did a like real professional podcast and it launched today. It has nothing to do with football, but if you've made it this far, an hour and 19 minutes into the show, perhaps you'd be willing to check it out if anyone's listening. The show is called Disinvested. It is about the, I guess, like, decline of an, it ties in nicely to what you're just saying. It's about, like, the decline of an American city, specifically Hartford, but it applies to basically any city in America. And it's about, like, a lot of things we could do to make it better, you know, looking forward over the next decade or two. Like, here's a bunch of ways to make Hartford or any community a lot better and more inclusive and stronger and all that stuff. So it's a serious podcast. although there's a lot of funny parts. It's more entertaining and interesting than it might sound from, it's not as like serious or downtrodden as it might sound from that description. It's good. Did SMU score?
96-yard touchdown.
Ah, Jesus.
But hold on a second. They're down 5. I got 65 and a half. I don't want to interrupt your plug.
No, it's fine. This is more important. Listen, there's real money on the line. This one's a non...
Since we started this fucking podcast tonight, we have a 96-yard passing touchdown and a 75-yard passing touchdown in the second half. We could still go under this damn thing. This could still happen. Oh, it's going to be good. Well, we're not going to keep this going. But no. Tom, I'm going to download your podcast. Please text me a link. I want to listen to you talk.
Disinvested. Disinvested.com. iTunes, Stitcher. The same places you can get Take the Points. That's what's hilarious about podcasts and the digital industry is that our like 8-year joke of a thing is in exactly the same spots with exactly the same like development behind it as this like actual professional thing with resources that I put a year into. So go on and get it. Listen to this first and then listen to that afterwards. That'll keep you entertained for a couple hours.
Fantastic.
All right. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Bye. All right, we're back.
We're back. It's 34-31. Houston got the 2-point conversion. That's 65 points. I got under 65 and a half. There's 4:47 to go, and SMU's getting the ball back. We need them to run this shit out. Or run a couple minutes off, punt it back to Houston, and stuff Houston one time to get a half point under. This is the best case scenario. Like, it's either going to overtime. Like, well, SMU could break a long touchdown. This is very Big 12-ish. But this is very entertaining. I'm going to put this on TV. I cannot wait. Tom, I'm going to text you in about – Tom, you should throw this on TV. We got 4 minutes left.
Okay, yeah, I think I can hang for that one. I can just keep the mics running. I mean, I got to leave, but you can just stay on like a one-man end-of-the-world-style podcast.
I'm not even watching the game. I'm watching the game cast like an asshole. It's even worse.
All right, get out of here. Go defense.
All right, man.
Good night, everyone. Bye.